Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
From Nigeria is not on the line with me, and they are in a different time zone, and things happen. So there could be a number of reasons why he's not present. At the moment, I'm trying to actually get a message through to him, but he's not even appearing to be online at this time. That's not unusual because Adeyemi is deeply involved in Ifa ceremony initiation there in Osogbo, Nigeria, my homeland. And I'm truly grateful and honored for any time that he finds to come and share with us here on Blog Talk Radio on the Ifa Wednesday Power Lunch. I'm having just a little problem with my switchboard, area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. We are taking your live questions and comments today. Please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad when you are prepared with your question, comment, or request. Here in New Orleans, many of you know we just ended a extensive holiday season. Many of you sort of begin your holiday season, some around Thanksgiving, others around Halloween, and you go into the typical American or Western series of holidays, Christmas, New Year. And for many of you, it sort of ends there. And here in New Orleans, which is a culturally diverse city, but also a religiously diverse city, greatly Catholic, but a religiously diverse city in terms of practice, cultural practice at the root here in this town. So our holiday season includes St. Patrick's and St. Valentine's and St. Joseph's Day. And St. Joseph's Day, which we celebrated on yesterday, I'm here in New Orleans, March 19th. I believe also celebrated in the Catholic world on March 19th. It's a major holiday for many different religious paths based on your understanding. Uniquely, I find it interesting that many quote-unquote Christians don't really know who St. Joseph is. And Joseph would be the father or the foster father, Mary's husband, of Christ and Mary and that family, that intimate family unit. St. Joseph is also venerated in the Voodoo traditions here in the Americas, and even some of the sub-Voodoo organized groups that many of you don't necessarily associate with Voodoo, like Mardi Gras Indians, Skull and Blown, Baby Doll, many of the adherents and practitioners of these cultural phenomena also attend spiritualist churches, have initiations into Voodoo, into Ifa, into Akan, into Native American and indigenous traditional spiritual practices, and they've always operated together. The spiritualist church is what originally brought me to New Orleans. I was here visiting with a spiritualist church and was overcome with spirit and overcome with Marisa Bowe, and I knew I had to stay. I had no other option but to stay. It was my destiny. And to be able to adhere to first know your destiny, but to adhere to your destiny is a powerful thing. There are many forces at work in our world to block that and to prevent that at any means necessary to prevent you from finding and understanding and recognizing and knowing your destiny and then moving forward. And we all find various ways to acquire what we need and to be where we need to be. And, you know, an important belief for me and for my elders and those who I have studied under and study with is that we create and recreate our reality. We are one to give responsibility, ownership to something or someone outside of ourselves or what happens to us. Some would say that it's a human nature, that it's an extension of our mind's need to sort of make sense of our physical world, which really doesn't match our spiritual world in many ways at all. But anything that you love enough, you will master. One of my elders has taught me that. Anything you love enough, you will master. My retranslation of that is we recreate and create our own reality. So our demonstration, our reality, our present existence right now in this moment is indeed an extension of what you believe. For some of you, you will find joy in that understanding. But others, depending on where you are, you might be uncomfortable with that. You know, how do you explain away my pain? How do you make sense of my tragedy? How do you make sense of my struggle? And indeed, we all have struggle. Life is a struggle if you choose to use that word, if you choose to consciously operate from that platform of understanding. And if you so choose to do so, understand that that's not spirit. This is a show of spirituality and religion, and not just spirituality and religion, but specifically ATR, traditional paths of spirituality and religion as they relate to Africa and the Pan-African diaspora. We are various belief systems in this sacred space. We are various levels of initiation within this sacred space. We are of various levels of understanding within this sacred space. But through my life experience and my teaching and my travel and my journey, I have come to understand, to learn, and to coin that titles don't trump ashe. And ashe does not trump universal law. And we exist in a society. And when we say society, it's one of those words that we use. It's a very big, elusive, general word to use, like success, like prosperity, like happiness, like joy. What does that mean? How do you weigh it? What's the recipe? What is the order for recreating it? And because we are not taught to sort of think in those terms, many of us are dissatisfied with our present manifestation because we are focusing and refocusing our energies into the wrong things. And there are many tools available to us from our indigenous forefathers and ancestors that help to rebalance us at that spiritual, at that vibrational level. And that includes music, the drumming, the rhythm, the spirit, the dance, the ceremony, the ritual. All these things are designed to rebalance us and bring us back into alignment with that force that allows us to operate within our destiny. So naturally, within this sort of artificial, adulterated culture, there are many things in place to block that and to prevent that from happening. There are many degrees of fear, I like to call it, degrees of fear that create isolation in a very unnatural context. Isolation, as I've said before, is not natural to indigenous culture. And if it's not natural to indigenous culture, it's not natural to indigenous spirituality. You cannot exist in nature alone, in complete isolation, without the assistance, the benefit of other human interaction. In this culture, it's been separated and segmented, and we've studied it in various degrees of psychology, including through the penal system, where we see the evidence of separation, isolation, and the outcome of that, the imbalances that are bred by that. So it's important that we cleanse, that we spring clean. And Spirit brought this to me today because, you know, in association with all the other rituals and traditions and, you know, time schedules that we follow here in New Orleans, spring cleaning is one of those things that is uniquely New Orleans, but has become an American thing. Many of you talk about it, have heard your mama, your grandmama say it, but understanding the root of it and where it sort of comes from, it's important to understand the sky, the seasons. You know, as I said earlier in the show, many of you are cold right now, have snow right now. Your visual presentation of climate doesn't line up with spring, doesn't line up with the date, doesn't line up with the equinox. But there is a energetic shift that's taking place. And those of us who are in the warmer climate tend to see it, perceive it, feel it at a very different rate because we are in a warmer climate. It's just natural. But we've been disconnected from what is natural. Many of you live in an artificial environment. You're not in contact with nature, with plants, with trees, with bugs, with insects, with birds, with you know, vermin on a daily basis, with fish, with creation. And for those of you particularly that are walking in Ifa, Orisha, Voodoo, it is crucial that we be connected with the elements. It is crucial that we be connected with the environment in order to maintain true balance physically, spiritually, but in all the other various realms of our daily existence. We've got to go back and fix our mind. You know, I'm trying to find right now on the spot a new way to say something you've heard me say a million times. It's about mental health. It's about mental health. And until we make that a priority, whatever your path is, for yourself, for your family, for those around you, for your community, until we make that a priority, we can talk until we're blue in the face, we can, you know, print all the books, we can produce all the videos, we can, you know, quick like and share, we can, you know, viralize to create a new word. Much of this information, and it's going to go in one ear and out the other. Or people are going to sort of piecemeal it and sort of mix and match and do what they want to do and come up with results that mirror that. A mix and match of what you have chosen to do or to not do. And there is a process to all things. There is a process. Even when something is natural, there's a process. Even when things are natural, there is a order that we must follow. My art teacher, and she probably wouldn't want me to call her my art teacher, because she says that art is natural. It's spirit. It's akin to who we are at the personality level. It's as simple as doing things in a way that are pleasing to you, that are pacifying to your eye, that accommodate your sense of comfortability within your environment. There are all kinds of things that we can attribute to art. But she often talks about learning to do things the right way. And then you have the tools necessary to give it your personality to create and recreate. You know, you must first learn how to cook a pot of rice, you know, before you can make chicken and rice, you know, before you can make, you know, some other dish, you know, at a much more complicated level. You must know first the basics. So we're going to take I don't like the word intermission. We're going to stop and acknowledge our ancestors, and particularly those ancestors that we feed and keep alive, all of our ancestors as they relate to Congo Square. Congo Square is a very sacred space and ground here in New Orleans, Louisiana. On the old city, it would have been on the edge of the city. Now it sort of sits in the middle of the city. But it is a place where, even when it was not allowed anywhere else in the South, we gathered on Sundays to acknowledge our ancestors. We gathered to acknowledge each other. We gathered to acknowledge vibration, harmony, tone, spirit, aroma, all the senses that connect us with the divine. There are many reasons that practice came about. Some say, you know, the homeless Indians celebrated their sacred corn festivals on that land in celebration and honoring and ancestral worship was birthed there, if you will, through the ley line. Our involvement as Africans came about as a result of our not being fed on Sundays and our needing to come together as a community to share food and prepare food, but also to connect, share messages, exchange communication, locate family members, if that were possible, to go and hear tell of news that would otherwise be isolated and segmented and regimented. So that very mindset affects everything that we do here in this country and on this continent, even today, I dare say even more so today. Many of you, as you seek consciousness, as you seek to pull away from the grid, as you seek indigenous understanding, as you seek African understanding, as you seek native understanding, natural understanding, we neglect to first cleanse the mind. Well, we can't process our ancestors' awareness through this corrupted cipher. So it requires sort of a surrendering of all that we think that we know and understand. And when what you think that you know and understand from an indigenous perspective lines up with the modern-day oppressor, you have a problem. Many of you, and I'm speaking to my community, who claim consciousness, who claim a return to an indigenous way of understanding, have also brought back with you a truckload of baggage. And within that baggage are mores, morality systems, ways of viewing things that you having had them superimposed onto our culture, you now embrace them as being African. Your level of distaste and your level of hate and your level of homophobia and your level of racism and your level of all these other isms mirrors Republicans, mirrors the Tea Party, it mirrors the white elite, it mirrors all the people and the systems that you say you are now pulling away from. I offer you that that is the most simplest evidence that you just might be off track. If you find them in agreement with you, you just might be off track. So we must first go beyond understanding and go back to just the basics in terms of reconnecting at the sensory level with spirit. For me, Congo Square is church. This weekend they have a major event going on, and I believe it's associated but I believe promoted by the New Orleans Jazz Fest and those arms that are a part of that organization. But it's the 2013 Congo Square New World Rhythm Festival. And this will be happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday in Congo Square. Myself, the Divine Prince, along with Luther Gray, Jamila, Peters, Muhammad, all of our drummers, I'm sure Kamal is going to be present, Brian Harrison Nelson of the Big Chief of our Guardian of the Flame Maroon Society will be present to this event. We will be on point at 11 in Congo Square, the Congo Square Preservation Society, of course, to drum, to burn incense, to open the space, to clear the way, and to open this event. And we will be doing that both Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. in Congo Square. If you wish to be with us, bring your drums, bring your rhythm instruments, bring your rhythm, dance, and by all means bring offerings for the tree and for the ancestors, and we will be there to meet you on Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. So I'm going to now share our offering of Congo Square by our elder, Briot, poet, writer here, local to New Orleans, Louisiana, Kalam Luya Salam. All is a blessing.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies work is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was, and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us, inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated, retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate, a world heralded by the beat. Be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart, beat. Heart, beat. Heart, be at this place. At this place, be heart, beat, be. We, beating, place in new world space. Beating, being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be bambula dance, be banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate with. Hello. Out of us.
Whoa.
But no matter, no matter how much of us they prohibit, no matter how much of us they prohibit, deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning. A sun day. A feel. A feel. Without shade, but dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to be, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat, be. Beat, be. Beat,
so
Congo Square. Be Congo Square.
Ashe, Iba, the Congo Square. I think it's crucial, and I'm going to bring Baba Iba Fakin in on the conversation. I think it's crucial that we go back to the creative energy that used to be present in our schools. You know, they removed the art, they removed a lot of the music. In many of these cities now, Baba, these kids don't have access to chorus or band or a rhythm instrument or a drum. I think here in New Orleans, you know, we're unusual in that, you know, you could see a kid carrying a trombone, you know, a violin on any given day of the week because it's a part of the culture. Now, that's not to say that we always give it the reverence, I think, that it needs and it deserves. We still sort of look at that as a means to make an income here, also within our city. But we are still, again, providing the avenue for the next generation to make a connection with those crafts. I think a part of our health issue in America is that we are not active, we're not performing, we're not dancing, we're not creating drums, we're not doing things that require constant and consistent movement. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Shay, first of all, I want to give thanks to Ola Damari for this opportunity that we have here, and I want to give thanks to all the Orisha, all of our ancestors, and to my Oluwo, Ifashola Adekunle Onifade and his family, and to all the Babalawos and Oshogbo who have helped me and supported me, Ashe. And, of course, I want to give thanks to you, Prince Tai, for having this show so that we can do our work and deliver the message and promote not only African traditional religion, but to promote a righteous way of living. And I must say that I do agree with what you're saying here. There is a sickness in society which lacks acknowledgement of culture. And then when we do as a people, as a society, acknowledge culture, we tend to latch on to that part of culture or to that mention within culture that supports the wrongful and even evil ways of thinking that we're already accustomed to, rather than latch on to the whole of the culture and gain the wholesomeness of it and really embrace the whole righteousness of it. For example, a lot of people turn to African traditional religion and they find some part of the specific religion that says something bad, let's say, about white people. Maybe something true about something bad that white people did, but that's what they latch on to, and they basically ignore everything else. One thing that people fail to realize is that African traditional religion, and when I say African traditional, I am talking about the systems of belief as practiced in Africa. I'm not talking about the things that people have twisted them into being here in the Americas. African culture, African traditional belief, does not condemn another religion, does not condemn another race of people, another ethnic group. It acknowledges wrongs that have been done, but still does not condemn entire groups of people. And this is the sickness that people are latching onto, that they're suffering from, they continue to suffer from, because they latch onto it. They ignore the fact that African traditional religion is a lot more universal than the, I'll say, sick and narrow-minded view that people attach to it. And it's a serious sickness with society that we need to do away with. We need to eradicate it. There's one saying in Ifa that keeps coming to my mind over and over again when I see and hear about the problems that we have in today's society, where somebody always says that they're right and everybody else is wrong, or they say that they're right and a specific group is wrong. That is where Ifa said directly, "No man can say he knows the mysteries of God better than any other. We all worship the same God." And the sooner we get that through our heads, the sooner we will be better off as not only a people, but as a world of people. I'm hoping and praying that today's message will be well received by our listening audience, I know there will probably be some who are listening to this and are probably now up in arms over a few simple words that I've said. More than likely, these are the same individuals who are latching on to the mention of wrongs that were done by certain people and basing their entire involvement in African traditional religion on statements of wrongs done against Africans by mostly Europeans and the white people who went into Africa and took slaves and also took advantage of the African land and the African people. We have to realize that the acts of some people within a certain ethnic group or within a certain race of people do not condemn all people. If we were to go on that principle, if that were to be true, that just because a lot of people of a certain race or ethnic group participate in certain evil deeds against others, if we were to adhere to that, then we should then look at ourselves as Africans, African descendants, African Americans, as criminals. Right? Because if we look at today's street gangs who are dealing in drugs and prostitution and all the killing that goes on in the streets, there's a lot of that going on. A lot of that is perpetrated by black brothers and sisters. And with all of that going on, are we going to say that we are a wretched people? Are we going to say that we are evil? That we are not deserving of the goodness of heaven? Of the righteousness of Olodumare?
I think, Baba, from a metaphysical perspective, that is exactly what has happened and what is happening. Because I think it's impossible to sort of brand someone else. Let's put it in the context of an incurable disease.
Right.
I think it's impossible to sort of brand someone else with some incurable disorder that cannot be fixed. That is demonized, you know, that is viewed in such an adverse way and not have that reflected back at you through the universal mirror. So as
right.
we brand a people as being completely untrustworthy, without merit, without any redemption, without any ability to heal, without any ability to make some change, then we are then doing that very same thing to ourselves and to each other. So we say, well, I don't trust white people, but my daily experience is black people not trusting black people. We say it's the outside enemy that's doing us the most harm, but my daily experience is the enemy within that would, you know, much rather see my downfall than to support my healing process. So, yeah, we become the very thing that we say, the very things that we focus on, the very things that we continue to project. And going back to my earlier point, I don't even think that's physiologically possible when you're operating within those indigenous realms of rhythm, music, creativity. I know just in beading, and in crocheting, there's almost a trance-like meditative process that gets involved. You know, there are over a million stitches in making a garment, you know, with a bead or with a crochet needle. So you're repeating a motion, and there's a rhythm there, and it's almost impossible. You have to literally be dead and unable to actually perform the craft, because you have to be alert enough to perform the craft with precision, you know, and not get a knot in your thread or not mess up, you know, the art piece that you're working on. But there's also a very deep, healing, meditative, trance-like process that's also going on that I feel when we're in Bembe, that I feel when we're in Congo Square on Sunday. And my childhood was full of that, making things, creating things, extending the imagination, which is really extending ourselves into the spirit realm. And
right,
this artificial reality that we all exist in now does everything possible to remove that. So many people are without those skills or foreign in their usage of operating with those skills, and that's what's creating and promoting the sickness
mm-hmm.
that you talk about. So it bleeds
right.
into how you think about anything. The anger, the level of anger that we see just on Facebook, you couldn't beat a patch for an Indian suit with all that. It took me a month just to beat
right.
that bottom patch on my suit. So imagine me trying to do that every day for 15 hours while I'm thinking about some mess, while I'm angry about something, while I'm ranting and raving, you know, about something. So for me, it's a clear sign of who's doing the work and who's not. When I listen to you speak, Baba Ifasakin, there's a certain almost harmonic rhythm to how you speak, but people seem to think that we cannot perceive that rhythm in type. You know, when you're typing in all capital letters, or you're, you know, using profanities, which take effort to type. You know, speaking a profanity because it's natural to you is one thing. Taking the time in your consciousness to process and type it is something else, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a demonstration of where our real focus is. You know, we can say we're spirit, we can say we're about God, we can say we're about Orisha, but, you know, our ultimate demonstration, our ultimate manifestation speaks to where our real focus is. And that's where the healing is.
Mm-hmm. I see. We have developed, I'm not talking about you and me, but I'm talking about largely, you know, people at large. We have developed a certain way of doing things that is not healthy. And we need to make changes. But people refuse to make these changes because they are comfortable, or they have grown accustomed to holding on to hatred and to bigotry, prejudice, which, as you said, that's all the things that we have suffered. That's all the things that we are against, but we've become that. And it is a way of life, and it's something that we have to change.
Mm-hmm.
Ifa talks about need for a change so that sickness doesn't take us over. Ifa talks about a purity that once existed but was tarnished by a sickness. That's Obato Turupan, where Ifa says, Obato Turupan, The Babalawo of Agbe cast divination for Agbe early in life. He was asked to make Ebo, Agbe, the bird that was once white in color, pure and beautiful. They told Agbe to make Ebo so that a certain sickness would not come over him and change his features and change his colors. And Agbe Bird said, "Me? What do I need to make Ebo for?" Agbe did not make the Ebo, and he continued on with his lifestyle. Eventually, the sickness afflicted him. And Agbe tried all types of antidotes and medicines to fight it off, but he wasn't successful. His body was affected, and sooner or later, his feathers changed color, and they became dingy. He then praised the Babalawo belatedly, and the Babalawo praised Ifa, and he said it was exactly as his Babalawo had said. Obara Turupon Turupon, the Babalawo of Agbe, cast divination for Agbe early in life, and he was asked to take care of the ground and make Ebo for Ajogun. Agbe heard of the Ebo but did not perform it. Agbe, who had once been purely colored, became overwhelmed with sickness. Sickness is what inflicted Agbe, the bird, and changed his colors. Sickness. Ifa, please let us be beautiful until we are aged. Let sickness not take us over. Sickness is what afflicted Agbe, the bird, and changed his color. It is sickness. Ashe.
Ashe.
We have to nip this sickness. I can't really say in the bud because it has taken over so much of our society, but we have to grab hold of this sickness and turn it around. Here in this verse, it said that Agbe was asked to make Ebo by taking care of the ground and making offering to offering for Ajogun. Ajogun in Yoruba culture, in Ifa tradition, is all the negative forces, all the things that detract from us: sickness, death, poverty, quarrel, fighting, litigation against each other, all forms of negativity. That's the Ajogun. And Ajogun is really what we have taking over now. Ajogun is what brings us sickness. It's what brings us all this crime committed by our own people against others and against our own people. And because of that, we end up in court, we end up in litigation against our own people. I mean, how many times do we see in the courtrooms across this nation where one family is in court, they are the victims because their black child was shot by another black child? Now, I'm not saying it would be okay if a black child went and shot a white child, but how are we going to ever fix society if within our own group we are broken? we need to turn to Ifa, we need to turn to Olodumare, we need to turn to the Orisha so that we can be healed. We need to stop this sickness that is within us. We need to purify ourselves. And only then can we as an entire people make positive changes in the rest of the world.
And if I can add to that, Baba,
please,
we
do
need to put beyond the comfort zone. Too many of us think that as long as I'm comfortable, then he's not speaking to me. He's not talking about me. And a great deal of the work, we all have work to have to be done. We all have dark corners that need to be swept out, that need to be purified, that need to be healed, that need to be cleansed. And we sort of get stuck in a comfort zone where we don't want to go past that. We don't want to go into the pain. We don't want to go into the undiscovered areas. We don't want to go into the underdeveloped areas. And I think that's what keeps us sort of locked into this pattern that we are in right now. As I was listening to you and your words, I was thinking that it's sickness that brings many people to me in the first place.
Right.
And as soon as they get some sense of relief, you don't hear from them anymore.
Oh, because they're back in the
Or they don't want to read any books. They don't want to do any studying. They don't want to learn a new lesson so that they can better understand the Odu. They want to do the easy part. In some cases, they want to throw money at the easy part to avoid doing the work. And it is a work that has to be addressed in order for us to heal and to begin to move forward.
Let me give you an example that supports exactly what you're saying about people, specifically about people wanting to throw money at it. They want to throw money at the problem and think that'll solve everything. One time I had a godchild of mine who, from the time that I met him, he was in trouble with the law because of his lifestyle, because of the things he was doing. And Ifa told him from the very first Ifa divination that I did for him, Ifa told him that he would have to change his ways, otherwise it was going to be big trouble. He was going to have a big price to pay. He was into selling drugs and carrying guns. I don't know whether or not he ever shot anybody, but he was definitely, you know, at some point in illegal possession of firearms. Anyway, the last time I got a letter from him, he was in jail, about to go to trial. And he wrote to me asking for help, but it was the way he asked for help was really not on the up and up. Because generally, when somebody who is in trouble with the law and that person is in the right, they really didn't do anything wrong, they go to a Babalao, they will ask that Babalao, you know, please let the truth come out so that I can be cleared. This guy never said, please let the truth come out. He never said, I'm innocent, I didn't do this. What he said was that he was in trouble. He said that there was some items in the car, and the other person is saying that those items were his. And he said, can you please do something to bend the court in my favor? Not, can you please do something to make sure the truth is revealed? Not, can you do something to make sure the lies against me are washed away? Can you manipulate the court in my favor? And he was ready to wheel and deal to get whatever money was required for me to go ahead and manipulate the courts in his favor. Not clear him for something that he did not do. He never said that. Not clear away the lies that were told against him. He never said that. But just whatever you can do, Baba, to bend the court in my favor, let me know what you need, and I'll make sure I get the money to you. Again, you know, people think that you can solve problems by throwing money at it. And you know, that's part of the sickness that we have going on here. Is, you know, people think about money, and they think everybody else is driven on money. I mean, let's face it, if a young man is not so driven by money, he would not be out there toting guns and selling drugs as his main source of income.
But again, a man who's not driven by money in this society would also be considered an outcast. So there's a double standard that is being played there.
Well, call me an outcast, call you an outcast, we're outcasts. But
right.
if you are going to work toward the betterment of society,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not all about money. I mean, yeah, we do need money in this society in order to survive. But if that is your main drive, you are missing out on life. And, you know, we have people in comfort zones. Some people in their comfort zones, you know, their life is basically peaceful. They don't have a whole lot of worries. They got money coming in to take care of their bills. You know, that's their comfort zone. But then you have people also in comfort zones where their life is total chaos. They're running from the law. They're looking behind their back to see who's going to shoot them. They're in all kinds of illegal dealings.
Yeah.
And it's a comfort zone because they got money.
Right. Right. And it works both ways. It's a very transitory, illusional reality. So it's a very it's too quick to say, you know, we don't need money, we don't need resources. Even if you're trying to do the best of good things, in this culture, in this system, you have to have the resources necessary to operate within that. And
right.
I think the problem for us goes back to mental health. How do we expect our young people to make sense of the difference? How do we expect people, period, to make sense of this multi-dimensional meaning behind everything if we're not functioning at a healthy level at the mind?
We gotta realize that the mind, the body, and the spirit are one. So if your mental health isn't together, your spiritual health isn't together, and your physical health really isn't together. And if any one of those are off, chances are the other two are going to be off as well. But now some people may hear that and argue, well, suppose you have somebody who's sick and dying, but they have a strong relationship with the Creator, and spiritually they're all right. Yet, their body is falling apart. Well, let's look at the matter of destiny. Right? Perhaps this person's body is falling apart, because it's just their time. In which case, their health is in sync with their proper destiny. So there's nothing wrong there. Another thing may be that perhaps a person is of right spirit and mind at this particular time, but perhaps they did something so wretched in the past that this is the way that they're being forced to pay for it. All right, let's take into consideration what young Baba Ele Bourbon said on one of the previous shows. He said that when a person dies, through that process of death, they have paid for their wrongs, so that when they get to heaven, they are not the evil person that you knew. They have paid for their wrongs and they have been corrected. So perhaps someone who is maybe spiritually right and mentally right toward the end of their life, but they are really suffering in sickness physically, perhaps that's that wretched death that they are paying for, that is their payment for things they have done before. And let us also not forget the idea of the sins, the wrongs of the parents being visited upon the children. Whereas maybe we have a young person who is dying, but that person is of sound mind and good spirit, but their body is suffering. They may be suffering for wrongs that their parents did. And although they are suffering and dying, and their suffering will soon be over once they have passed, their parents who did the wrong, who watched their child suffer, they will go on suffering for a long, long time after that young person has died and gone, and their spirit has gone off to heaven, to a room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to simply say, you know, who's doing the measuring? You know, we turn on the news and we see the mama crying and, you know, my child was a good child. And, you know, the child is always a good child. But the person that has passed was always the good person. You know, we are very selective in our consciousness in terms of karmic repercussions.
Uh-huh.
So I think you're right on point when you say, you know, what's really in our karma, and who's doing the looking and who's asking? You know, God might be saying, okay, you know, you see yourself as a good person, but I remember when, you know, you did thus and so, you harbored this, that, and the other, you know, in your spirit and in your heart. I see the things that you did that others did not see. So how many of us in this society have the fortitude to step up to our own evil, to our own wrongs, and to claim them and to call them out?
Right.
You know?
Well, let's look at a case such as Malcolm X. All right. Malcolm X, in his young adulthood, was a straight-up hoodlum. And he admitted to that, and he realized he had to correct himself. He realized that he had to atone for his wrongs and had to change his ways. And it is only because he realized that, that he was able to become the leader that he was. The leader that he still is, I should say, really, because of the long-lasting effects of the things that he did. has.
But let's also, but Baba, let's also look at where he had to be physically,
yeah,
mentally. If we believe the story as it is portrayed in the book and in the movies, let's say that the truth hit him with the old man in the prison. Now, when we look at the average person today in ego and consciousness, look at some of your clients. I got some clients, I'm hard-pressed to tell them the truth because they're going to argue me on it. They're going to come up with a million excuses on it. They're going to find other people to blame for it. They are not going to look at their part, whether it's the enabler, whether it's the codependent, whether it's the offender. Many of us today, unless we're put on the spot, unless you're caught, unless you're put in a corner where you can't shuck responsibility.
Right.
But when we talk about everyday spirituality, religion, those people who come to us, you know, they want to access Orisha for carnal things, my love life, my finances, you know, my career path. But Odu says, okay, there might be some things in your character we need to address. How often do people not hear that part of the conversation? You know, how often do they not read that part of the email? You know,
well, I can say this.
The self-glory, but not any of the work-related
right.
stuff that we all have to do.
I can say this on that piece. I have to sadly say that at least 80%, maybe more like 90%, of the people who have come to me for help, in the cases where Ifa has said that they need to change their character because that the way they're behaving is the root of all their troubles. 80, probably closer to 90% of those cases, the person ignores the need to change their character. And then they wonder why stuff is all screwed up in their lives. Then they want to come back and say, well, Baba, I did the Ebo, but, you know, I'm still having trouble, or this trouble's come back. I'm like, okay, part of your Ebo, Ifa said change your character. Ifa said stop doing X, Y, Z. And you're still doing X, Y, Z. You never stopped. Or Ifa said stop X, Y, and Z, and you only stop Z. X and Y, you still got going strong, and you need to stop it. I have seen repeatedly where that has happened. You know, people think, and it gets back to that issue of throwing money at it. Because generally what a person does when they make Ebo now is they bring money to the Babala for all the materials that are required to do the Ebo. So it's a money matter to them. They want to throw money at it and fix the problem. Well, there's more to it than throwing money at it. If Ifa says that you should not do a certain thing or that you need to do a certain thing, you need to change the way you behave, that's part of your Ebo. That is part of Ifa's prescription to change your situation and to make the best of things for you. That you have to do all of this. It's not just a matter of giving money to the Babala to make offerings. But if there's something you have to change about your character, something you have to change about your behavior, that's part of your Ebo. And if you haven't done that, your Ebo is not complete. And people just don't get it. And they want to...
Hello?
Yeah, peace and blood.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, peace and blood.
What up? Yes. Yes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have you on the line now.
Yeah, how are you today?
I'm very good, and you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Good, and how is your family?
Everyone is fine. Everyone is fine.
Excellent, excellent. We have been talking about the sickness in society of where people have blockages really caused by the way they perceive things, and they hold on to this sickness, which is a mental sickness, really. It's sickness in the way they view the world and the way they view themselves, holding on to things that they're comfortable with, even though those things may not be right. Not changing their character. When Ifa says they need to change their character, and it goes quite deep and spreads quite far. Because I'm sure you know of cases right there in Nigeria where people are told that they need to do a certain thing, they need to change their ways, they need to improve their character, but they don't do it. Maybe they come up with money for airball, but they don't change their character.
Yes.
So I know you're just stepping in now, but if you could add to that and give our listening audience a little more insight to that, I'd appreciate that.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say pay my homage to Ifa Olodumare, my God Almighty. My homage to Ifa Onumila. Homage to my ancestors. Homage to my father, my mother.
Ashe.
Babalawo. And I would like to pay my homage to the host, divine priest. So my homage to you too. Homage to everybody that listened to me, men, women, young, old, my mates, those are older than me, younger than me, those are no more than them. My homage to all of you. Ifa Olodumare. My name is Adeniyi Ajani. Ajani Ogun, Elebu Ibon. Calling from Oshogbo, Osun State. Yes, as you are saying, Divine, it's a good topic, you know. So our people, they need to know that that's what you call taboo. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. Change your character, change your attitude towards somebody, change attitude towards someone. The hall is there. Now some people is okay, stop drinking ochi, stop drinking gin. Anything that alcohol, don't stop drinking alcohol. Alcoholic, stop drinking. You need to change your character so that your good blessing can come. Some people listen, but most people, they don't listen because what they like to do most, is what if I prescribe that it's your taboo. It's forbidden for you to do. They now think, this is what I like, this is what I love to do. I love to party. I love to take alcohol, gin. I love to take marijuana, drugs. But it's not good for your health. It's not good for your destiny. There are some spirits that love it. But most people's spirits, they love people take drugs or marijuana because the day you take it, your spirit will run out for you, run away for you. the blessing, money that's supposed to come to you, opportunity, good luck that's supposed to come to you, they will run away because you take what you're not supposed to take. It's your taboo. I'm a Babalawo, I'm a high priest. A lot of people come to me, then people will learn from other people. You have to learn from others. There's a man, he came to me, say, Baba, I have a girlfriend. I want to marry her, but I want to check before I marry her. So, and I consult if I for him. If I now say, this woman said you want to marry, no. Both of you, you are not compatible. You can't marry her. She's not for you, for someone else. But you think he loves her. Can I leave her? Oh, me and her will become for a long time. But if I talk about future, what happened if, not the present thing, what happened in future? That was if I talk about. You can say that you love each other now. But when you marry her, you are both in the same place. Things can change. So he refused to listen to what Ifa said. So I don't know anything. He's gone. So 6 months later, he called me, Baba, 4 months ago, I got married to the girl. This girl. The one I... But I told the pastor, you should not marry her. He said, Baba, I can't leave her. I love her so much. She's pretty. She's beautiful. I said, wow, okay. Good luck. 2 months later, 3 months, he called me. Wow, Baba. This is bad. I said, what? This lady, she changed completely. She do this, she do that. I'm not happy with her anymore. I said, she's not for you. She's for someone else. If she's with right man, she'll be fine. The man will be fine with her. But you, no. That was our people need to know that certain women to marry, or men to marry, they want to ask, is this man is a good man for me? If they say no, then a right man for you, let him go. Or let her go. Find another one. None about what the love that he shows you, that, I love you, take you out, take you for dinner, shopping for you. That's not what to call love. But future things, when you're all together, future, when you're all together as a family, it may change. So, the topic you raised today is a very, very nice topic. If they say, this thing, please do not do it. Not for that person that said to you that you benefit from it. No. It's what you see. It's what is okay. This thing, please do not do it. It's not good for you. Stop eating this. Some people in the Bible say, stop eating beef. But he or she may like to eat beef. But it's their taboo. It's forbidden for their health. For their health, eating it. You know, the body is like, you give what I don't want, you give it to me. Definitely may feel sick. So each one of us, we are all different in nature. So we are okay, this is for what is good for me, it's bad for you. What do you hate most? I mean life is good for me. That is life. So you cannot people say that what is your poison? Something is poison for you, be food for me. So but how do we know all this? We have to come to Ifa, get ourselves initiated. Ifa will not prescribe this thing. it's not good for you. Stop doing it. Stop eating it. So stop wearing it. Some people like to wear a red color. Some like to wear black color, white, yellow, or the ball. They are dressing in their skin. They may not like it, but they may not tell you that what you put on, I don't like it. So people like, before I got initiated, I like to wear red. But it's not good for me, but I don't know. Whenever I wore it, then I got disappointment. Disappointment happened to me, disappointment. Heelock. Red color is heelock for me. But for another person, it's a good luck. That is it. Black color. It brings heelock back to me, but other person, it's a good luck. So, yellow color. Brown, yellow, red, blue. You know, everybody has their own color. This is for you. You see, our Orishas, Ogun has his own color. Oh, but he has his own color. Shango has his own color. Shango wear red. Oh, but I choose white. The red is not good for him. Also choose yellow. Red is not good for her. So, that's the same thing to all of us too. Yeah, what is good for you? That your spirit will like it. Your spirit will love it. Divine.
I want to interrupt you for a second. I understand what you're saying about people not doing what Ifa says and things that they need to do that are good for them according to what Ifa says and according to the specific Orisha associated with them and everything. But what we are really trying to focus on here is something more universal having to do more with society as a whole. We're looking at how people take incorrect ideas and stick with these ideas and make them their way of life and like make that their whole reason for being involved in African traditional religion. Largely, what we see in that area is a matter of racism, where they may see Ifa says something about what white people have done to Africans and to black people around the world, and they will use that as their as the basis for their involvement in Ifa, rather than look at the whole righteousness of Ifa and look at the look at how universal Ifa is. In other words, they'll use the Ifa tradition as another tool for hate against other people.
No.
And how this is a sickness in their mental perception of things, their perception of life and their perception of the world, their perception of Ifa tradition.
And if I may, please, just for a moment. But,
yeah.
But also, there's a certain level of materialization of Ifa. And what I mean by that is, you know, as you were saying there, my brother in Nigeria, about certain colors for the Orisha. There are people in our society who are willing to do all that. They can afford to do all that. They can pay for Ebo. They can, you know, afford certain sacrifices. But in terms of making the changes within themselves, there is a disconnect. They find the giving of self harder to do than the giving of the money. And it becomes just a token then. You know, I'll just pay for my good fortune. I'll just pay for my blessing, as opposed to really making the personal changes within, at the character level, to make these changes not only happen, but make them lasting. Are you with me?
Yes.
And this is what we were addressing as you were coming into the conversation. You know, being able to afford initiation, being able to afford, that's one issue, and that's a big issue, particularly here in the States, where there are many who would otherwise be actively participating in the tradition who use that as a reason for not being able to do so. But at a much deeper level, there is the blockage to actually making the character changes. There's a hard, doing the hard work that is associated with spiritual evolution.
First of all, I would say that if I is for all of us.
Okay.
If I
Benny.
Is for all of us,
Benny.
Whether you got initiated or you not get initiated to IFA, whether you are, where you be, if you are not initiated to IFA, you can go to any Abalawo to consult IFA. Hey, what is going on in my life? Go to IFA. IFA will tell you everything that's going on in your life. That does not matter whether you initiated or not. IFA is for everybody, for the world. Onumila, IFA is the only person that said the truth. IFA is the only thing that said the truth. To all of us, this is true. This is right. This is wrong. If I said the truth. So, if I is not for only me or you alone, it's for the world. If you can avoid, if you are avoid to, you don't have much money. To get yourself initiated to IFA or to come to Nigeria, it's good. You can call Nigeria or same age Nigeria. All we need is your names. Another, I want you to give me the reading. Consult Oracle, so that IFA for me. I will tell you. Everything that's going on in your life. If I would tell you everything that's going on in your life, would that mean seeing you or know me? Then a little thing you sent to the herbal, I did. So it's all if I would take care of everything that's going on in your life. So
slow down.
Yeah.
So is there a danger then, in your opinion, of doing the EBO but not making the changes in your life? And what is the outcome of that over the long term?
Say it again.
When someone makes the EBO, someone follows the directions, but they don't change the behavior. What happens?
if they don't change their behavior, that's left to them. Left to them. Because, but the person that wants a good life for himself or for herself, will change, he or she will change his behavior. You know, if I give him behavior, always gentle, don't fight, gentle, cool, then I follow. If I, so my life is sweet and good. But if you will tell, there's a man, there was a man here, yeah, if I, it's okay, please stop doing this. Change your behavior towards people. But he refused. He refused. So it's a pity. He's gone now. He passed away because of his bad behavior. So, if you will tell people to stop, behave good. But if he or she refuses to follow what the pastor say, then left to them, and they are God to judge that person. God will judge that person. If
but
I will judge him too.
Okay, but doesn't their behavior at some point then begin to affect the community? You know, here in the States, and I'm sure you have it there in Nigeria too, unfortunately, almost every community, you know, sort of has the public alcoholic, the public drunk, if you will. And you try to get them on the right path. You try to get them to healing. You try to get them to change their ways. And maybe they don't change their ways, and they continue to drink. They get progressively worse. At some point, he may commit a crime, or he may assault someone, or he may offend a child. Or he may do something that is eventually going to bleed out into the community. And I think there's a mindset in today's world, no matter where you are, that what I do only affects me. So I think that paves a way, that makes it easier for people to sort of buy Ebo, to sort of buy initiation, to sort of buy affiliation to many of these spiritual paths without making the real commitment at the soul level, at the personal level. And in my own practice, the people that I find that really do that usually come to it by way of pain, whether it be sickness, whether it be imprisonment. Some form of discomfort has to happen for too many of us before we get serious about making the change. And depending on how serious the discomfort is, often for too many of us dictates the length of time that the change, the healing will hold, will stick. You know, otherwise we go back to our old behavior again. You know, after the pain stops, we go back to doing what we did before. And do the practitioner, do the Ifa priest play any role in becoming enablers in that process?
Well, Bobby, I would have to say
yeah. Let me tell you. If someone addicts to something, you hear me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Addict to drinking or alcoholic or drugs. There's certain way if I do, say, okay, if this person addicts, drinking, alcoholic, or marijuana or drugs, that's something we give to them. The sacrifice, a special sacrifice, and medicine will do with that person. You know, we know how to handle all that. So as he continue to take all that, do all that for him. I'm telling you, the next time finish all the thing that we give to him to do for him. If you say this is marijuana, for say what is that? If he tastes it, you'll be like shit. Can anybody smoke shit? Can anybody eat any shit? No, it's wrong. So, in that side, Babalawo know how to, if a priest on the mirror know how to handle that angle. We know what he will make, what we prepare for that person. But okay, his family don't want you to take marijuana anymore, or don't want you to get drunk anymore. If I strict all that, if I always, on the mirror, I always want the life to be sweet for everybody.
No,
if you're having a miserable life, okay, don't worry. If you come to, if I will give you a good life. So if that person is an alcoholic, then say, okay, I don't want to be an alcoholic. You know, okay, don't worry. I'm making an elbow, I do all that. After making an elbow, a certain thing after the elbow you do for that person. We handle a lot of that over here. If you give that person, it's like poison. You give him poison. You hate drink anything. Okay, please, you have juice or soda. So, on the way, I know, procedure, over there in America, the rehabilitation. They put that person in certain drugs. Take this, take that, put it in, and then rehabilitation and all that. You know, they know how to do. So, only me, I know how to do that one best. That he or she would never go back to drink again. If you could take this and drink that, it's like you take urine, like you drink shit. Like you drink shit, like, oh, what is this bad? Is that this is dream that you always do? No. Juice.
Right.
Sweet in his mouth. But alcoholic, we know more. We know how to take care of all that. So we do take up that.
In addition to that, Baba, let me step in here. In addition to people just doing things that are bad for them as individuals, getting out of bad habits and getting out of addiction, there is the matter of being committed to the faith, being committed to Ifa and that way of life.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The problem that we're seeing is that people want to just give their money for Ebba, but then they don't make the commitment. Like, let's say Ifa says that a certain person needs to study Ifa and they need to become Babalawo or Iyan Ifa, and they step in there with the Ebba, but don't make the effort to actually study Ifa or to stay close to a Babalawo so they can learn by what the Babalawo does, or stay close to an Iyan Ifa so they can learn what the Iyan Ifa does. They don't make that commitment to the way of life. They throw money at it. They do whatever Ebba they're told to do. But that part of their Ebba where Ifa says you need to change something or you need to do something different, they don't go ahead and do that. For instance, I had a case where another. This was an Orisha priest. It was a priest of Ogun, I believe. He came to me for work because he was having trouble. And he Ifa said that he needed to change his character because he had a habit of doing things against other people. He would take vengeance against other people through spiritual work. And Ifa said that he needed to change his ways. There was also Ebba for him to do in order to correct certain things in his life. He did the Ebba, and, you know, there were certain things that did get corrected, but he did not change his ways. He continued operating the same way he did before. And because of that, he lost everything.
And then there's a danger of you or the Baba Lal or the Orisha Priest who worked with them over that time then taking on some responsibility for it not happening. Because we don't...
It's up to that person to make that move, and it's the Baba Lal can't make a person do something unless there's a part of the Ebo, a part of the sacrifice that is supposed to help the person to stop that habit.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
on that. But then still, there are some Baba Lals who are pretty much enablers in that they will just take whatever money, is coming to them for the work that they do, mm-hmm. and they will not stay in contact with the client, encourage them to do the things that they need to do. All they're focused on is getting the money, making the offerings, and being done with the client until next time comes for another reading and Ebba.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you're doing that and not trying to teach your client at the same time,
right.
then
right.
You're an enabler. And that may come back on you at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to do more than just do a person's elbow. Especially here in the Americas where we're not generally brought up in the culture, and a lot of our clients that come to us are not brought up in the culture. So every time that we meet with a client, we have to be teaching the client at the same time. It's not enough really to just do the reading and then say, okay, well, this is your Ebba and it's going to cost you this much. We've got to explain something to them about Ifa, explain how Ifa is doing.
Am I on? You hear me?
We have to explain how Ifa is addressing the issues in their life and teach them by the explanation that you give. In other words, let's say a certain Ifa verse talks about a woman having a miscarriage, and there's Ebba to be done to avoid the miscarriage. All right? There's more to it than just the fact of avoiding a miscarriage and doing the Ebba. There's a lesson of life there in the Ifa verse. Every Ifa verse has a lesson of life, and we have to teach that to the client to give them a greater understanding of what Ifa is all about.
Yes. Hello, Divine. I'm out. Divine, hello?
Yes.
You're on there.
Okay. You know, we Baba Lao don't do any advertisement over here. You know, we don't preach to the people that they come and take Ifa, because Ifa is the beginning of life, the beginning of everybody's life. So over here in Nigeria, people know that they run to Babalawo. But this is what is happening to me. Baba, I want you to help me. So we help people, those that want to help themselves. Some people, you help them, maybe you call them to encourage them, to teach them. You call them in the international from here, you call them. They will not pick their calls. So you email them, they will not reply you. But it's good because we want everybody, all African, Black, America, over there to come back to their roots, to come back to their motherland. And to know their religion. Only like it's Black as we weave all Black. So we over here we try, and people, my people know me, my friend, because nobody, I don't call people my clients, you know. My friends that we are friends together and we're all working together know me. Hello, how are you? What are you feeling? What is happening with you over there? Ah, Baba, okay. This and that, don't worry, we take care of it. But Yoruba people used to say that, Aki Banini. As you and the divine, you are in the same, you are in the studio together now. You can't identify. You can't say.
Where places.
You cannot say this is where it's Penny divine, because unless divine tell you, this is happening to me. So we want our people to tell us, okay. This is what's happening to me. I wanted to help you. But some people want to figure out, okay, is this happening to you? But if you call me or tell me, Baba, I want you to help me on this. Anything in life, anything that's happening to you, just say, I need you to do this for me. Then we do it. The show we saw so about. It's good to. Whenever they say this is bad,
Baba, did we lose you?
I'm sorry, I'm here.
If I repeat
the. The show actually ended about 3 minutes ago. We certainly do appreciate your time.
I'm signing out now. Sign out.
All right.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
So,
Baba, if I can, we had a glitch there for a minute. But
okay.
I certainly do appreciate the both of you coming on and being a part of the continued EFI Wednesday. I will be present on next Wednesday, the 27th, here on Block Talk Radio for our next installment of EFI Wednesday. And Baba EFI Sakin, if you have anything else to say, I'll let you close out.
Well, I just want to point out for our audience that Baba from Nigeria mentioned a few things, about how they don't really teach Ifa to their clients there in the U.S., in the U.S., in Nigeria. And, there's a reason for that. It's because the people that come to them, like he said, they know them. So when a client comes to them, they already, have an idea at least of what Ifa is about. And that's a main difference between Ifa as it is practiced over in Nigeria and as it is practiced here. Because here, first of all, we may get many clients who never met us before. They don't know us. You've had people who come across your page on Facebook or come across one of the other websites that you're on, and they approach you just because they were looking for help and just happened to find you. They don't know really much about you except what they can read on the website, and most of the time when somebody calls you, they've hardly read even the cover page of the website you're on. People have called me the same way. They don't have an idea of what IFA is about. They just know that they want some help, and they see somebody up on the internet who says, hey, I offer help. I offer guidance in life. I can do a spiritual reading and help you through troubles. And they call based on that, but they don't know what IFA is. And then if you do IFA divination, if I do IFA divination for a person, and IFA says, you need to be studying IFA, or you need to be a devotee of Ogun or Batala. They don't have a clue as to who or what Ogun or Batala is, and they really don't know anything about IFA. So in the process of conveying to this person the things that have come out in the divination that we do for such person, we have to teach. And that is one major difference between the IFA tradition as it is practiced in Nigeria and the way it is practiced here. And I don't know how many Babalawos here actually teach as they're doing their practice, but it is something that definitely needs to be done. We need to teach, and we all need to be open to learning. And it is through learning that we are going to begin to heal these sicknesses that we have here. I'm talking about the mental and emotional, spiritual sickness that is going on, that's really run rampant and has really undermined the whole purpose of African traditional religion here in the United States. We've got sick perceptions that need to be changed, and we must work toward that. Clients need to be open to change. Practitioners need to be open to change. All devotees need to be open to change. And I will close with that, and let us go forward with open minds so that we can change and accept the necessary change. Ashe.
Hey,
Eli my so me have to come back again with the new style. Le 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 le.
Hey,
Iyawo mi. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. Iti iyawo mi. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey follow. You do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey follow. Eliman, they give you the reason. Your love, they give me the season. This time, na so wahala. Baby girl, they give me the fever. Baby girl, can I have your number so that we can see the club together? Make us feel you.
Make you feel me.
Why, why? Dance, dance. At the club, right, right. Baby girl, can I have your number? Come on, show gaga for me.
Yawo me.
Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You see, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey follow.
ma so bade ka jo ta dulo ku ma lo fine ma lo nine ama ni le aye mi titi wa ni mo fe ma jiri ya go fe ma money ma ja ye na ti le 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 ama o de ma ba mi tele
ti yawo mi yawo mi yawo mi
every time I see you I just fall in love.
Yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi.
Every time I see you, I dey fall in love. It do me, do me, do me, do me. Eh, eh.
Like say I don't dey go.
It do me, do me, do me, do me. Eh, eh.
Like say I don't dey go.
Faka piki faka. Faka piki faka. Faka piki faka.
Mama na one by one we dey go. Mama na me and you na today.
Mama jaja yo la baka de jaje. Mama mo de ma de ba dele. Eli man don't come again now. Eli man don't come again now. Hey, now when you na de find Baba don't do am for me.
Yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi.
Every time I see you, I dey fall in love.
You see yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi.
Every time I see you, I dey fall in love. It do me, do me, do me, do me. Eh, eh.
Like say I don't dey go low.